university life can be a bit of a maze, right? Don't worry. Campus Chronicles is here to be your guide. It's your go-to spot for tackling the big questions, sharing a laugh, and everything else that comes with navigating campus life. Think of it as the resource and the sounding board that I wish I had back in my uni days. And I am so excited to share it with you. My goal is to leave you feeling inspired, energized, and ready to chase after your boldest dreams. Let's jump in. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to this wonderful woman that we have today. Her name is Carol Boston, and she is full of so much wealth of knowledge and insight and just fun. Carol, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited to be here with you because you have such joy and exuberance. And before we get into all of the nitty-gritty details of what it is that you can share with us, give us some insight into your background and just who you are. Let us know who Carol Boston is.
I'm an LSU Fighting Tiger.
Okay. You're a Joe Burrow fan.
Oh, yeah. I'm an ex-collegiate and professional tennis player. And I then spent 26 years as a sales expert for Fortune 100 companies before owning my own business. And one of the cool tools that we're going to chat about today a little bit, actually, if I had had this tool back when I was in corporate America, you and I wouldn't be talking because I would have made sales faster and easier and I would have made a lot more money. I mean, I had a successful career, right? But I would have made a lot more money with this tool. So I'm excited about that. What else? I love cats. I went to hear, I'll tell you how old I am. I went to hear Tony DeSaro last night at the theater, and he does jazz and he did Frank Sinatra.
Oh my goodness.
It was so good. It was incredible. And his guitar player was young. He looks like I met him actually at a restaurant before. It's only a trio. There's just three of them, a bass player, a guitarist, and him on the piano. And this young kid, I made a comment to my best friend that I went with. I said, he smiles all the time and he looks so happy. And most kids his age don't even know this music. They've never heard it.
Mm-hmm.
He was just so in enjoyment that it made it that much more enjoyable.
And that's living in your purpose. And clearly that's a part of his purpose, right? Which I think is so important because to your point, although it may not be popular for everyone in the age demographic, to him, it's his purpose and his passion. I love that.
And he was really good. What else would you like to know about? Let me see.
Well, let's dive in. So you have two amazing directions we can go in. We're going to have to touch on both. But before we were you know, recording, you mentioned something about a tool. And I think, why don't we dive into that? Because within the tool, you talked about values. And here at the Campus Chronicles podcast, we are so big on values.
You know, what I find is so many people, even the clients, they're my age and older, don't truly understand what they value. And if we don't know what our values are, then we don't know how to have our behavior to be in alignment with our values so that we can have what we say we want. So one of the things I teach and train and talk on is be, do, have leadership. And I think that's critical for this demographic because I don't know how it is across the world, but in America, most people do what? They say, how much can I have and what do I got to do to get it?
Pretty much, yes.
Right? And I say, no, who do you get to be? Who are you being in order to do what you get to do so that you can have what you say you want? Make sense? One of the tools one of the things I take my clients through, I call it the 300 values. I don't know if it's 300 values, but it's three pages of column after column after column of values. Quite fascinating. And their number one responsibility is to pick out their top 10 values. Now, I did this in a paid program with Jim Fortin. He's phenomenal at Be, Do, Have Leadership. And someone said to me, well, that's what you coach and train on. Why are you getting into his program? And I said, well, I have my blind spots too. Every good coach gets to have a good coach. And I was honest enough to say, you know, there's a couple of areas of my life. This was a couple of years ago. I took his program and I said, there's a couple of areas of my life that I don't like who I'm being. And I can't figure out how to get out of that loop on my own because I can't see, right? You'll laugh at this. My next book is going to be called You Can't Read the Label When You're Inside the Jar.
But you can't, you know, and I think that's such an important point because there's
little areas where I do excellent, but there's areas where I fall short massively.
Absolutely. So the tool we're talking about, the company's called Codebreaker Technologies, and the tool is called BANK, B-A-N-K. That stands for Blueprint, Action, Nurture, and Knowledge. And it was actually founded and based, for those of you who are young, you're not even going to remember this name, but Hippocrates was a very famous physician 2,500 plus years ago, and he treated his patients based on four temperaments. And so this is also based in that, on the four temperaments. And one of the things I shared with you is it has two patents, and it's the only scientifically validated tool to understand somebody's buying values in 90 seconds or less. Now, when I first got involved with this, they told me that the Challey Group did a study, and they found out that, think about this, 82% of all people only buy from someone with their same dominant code. So if you don't know how to speak to the other three codes, you're leaving 300% on the table for your competition to take. And I thought, I'm going to test that. So what I did is I sent an email to clients from 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I said, hey, do me a quick favor, crack your code, take you less than 90 seconds. Now, not everybody answered, but of the ones that did, 85% had my same dominant code.
And you're like, oh my goodness, there could be something here.
That is exactly what I thought. I said, oh, I just proved that true. I mean, how many times have you gotten into a conversation with someone that you didn't know and you thought, oh my God, it feels like we've known each other forever? That's because you're speaking the same language. So if we took these codes and we said, okay, this one is English, and English is my code, and I show up and I start talking to you in English, but you only speak German, you're a B, and I'm an A, you're going to be like, I have no idea what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. There's a massive disconnect.
Totally. How many conversations have you walked away from and you went, what just happened? Right?
And even in my romantic relationships, sometimes we're speaking two different languages.
Totally. And what you'll learn, and I'm going to send you the link to crack your code, you're going to get a free report, $97 value, and it's going to show you how you're showing up in the world. And it's going to talk to you about your triggers, which are good things in this world, and tripwires, which are things that will trip you up. Now, one of the fascinating things that this applies to sales and relationships, and that opposites attract, and then they attack. They don't know how to speak into the code. A quick example is Mamie, one of the trainers. She's been their longest trainer for 16 years, and she's an N, she's a nurturer, and her husband is a K, he's a high knowledge. Now, as nurturers, we like eye contact, right? We're about community and harmony. Don't you dare try to sell us something unless you get to know us first. Now, N's and K's are opposites, and she tells the story before she found Bank. She and her husband were on the verge of a divorce because she would say things like to him, well, honey, I just want you to hold me and hug me and tell me that you love me. Now, he's a high K, he's an engineer. His response was, Mamie, I told you I loved you when we got married. If something changes, I'll let you know.
Now, that sounds a little too familiar to me.
It's a true story. Now, fast forward, she learns Bank. I mean, she's been teaching it and training it, like I say, for 16 years. He learned about it, right? So she says recently, he was in the garage and his phone went off. And so she picked up the phone to take it to him. And she looked at it and it was a message to himself. And it said, call Mamie and tell her you love her. So what he's done is he's programmed himself because it's not his code at all. And every morning before he leaves for work, he hugs her and tells her that he loves her. And he calls her once every afternoon. She didn't know that that's what he had done, but he had done that for her.
That's so sweet.
Another thing she said is one Valentine's, he came home and he had this big bucket of goo. She's like, where's my flowers? And he's a K. You know what he said? Flowers die. She says, well, where's my chocolate? Chocolate makes you fat. He really said that. Chocolate makes you fat. And he said, but I got this for you. So he pours this goo into a pan on the floor. And he says, I want you to step into the goo. She's looking at him like he's crazy. Like, this is not Valentine's to me.
Right.
So she steps into this goo and he does whatever he does. And she steps out and he takes this thing and he takes it somewhere. And he gets her these very special orthotics made for her And he said that he had been researching for a year to find the right product to get her out of her back pain because that's how much he loved her, right? He spent a year researching and she no longer has back pain.
But it's showing love in very different ways. And I think this is so helpful for all of our listeners, because this is usually the first time that you're in a more serious romantic relationship, or many people are, or serious friendships, serious work partnerships, and learning how to deal with someone who thinks differently than you and how to not judge them for thinking differently than you is very, very troubling. It's something I've struggled with.
One of the things I'm known for online is being the queen of reframe. So I teach and train on empowering questions, how to get the answers that you really want. One of the commonalities, and why I'm excited about adding Bank to that, is that they both allow you to come from a place of curiosity instead of judgment. Now, can you imagine, one of the things empowering questions does is it also keeps the emotion out of the conversation. So how many fewer arguments would you have if you could keep the emotion out of the conversation?
I mean, as a very emotional person, probably less.
Exactly. So I don't have time to teach everybody exactly today how to craft empowering questions. I teach it in a very simple way because I believe simple is doable. You know, complex is just interesting, right? I tell people, have you ever been to a conference or you had a friend go to a conference and you said, how was it? And they said, well, it was interesting. Because what they walked away with was so complex, they couldn't implement it. But one powerful point, if I could make one point today to your audience, is to take the word why, W-H-Y, out of your vocabulary. An empowering question never starts with why. Why brings in defensiveness, and I'm going to give you some examples. Why brings in defensiveness, which brings in the ego, which brings in emotions, and when emotions go up, intelligence goes down. It's true for every human being. So picture this. I'm in seventh grade. I can't wait for my daddy to get home. Now I'm from the deep south, right? And I had 5 A's and a B on my report card. I couldn't wait for him to come home. He comes home. I hand him my report card. I'm so excited. And he looks down his nose at me. He says, now, Carol, why'd you get a B? What do you think? I just told you the first thing I did is I got defensive.
Right, right.
And I said, but Dad, I got 5 A's. He looked down his nose at me again and he said, that is not what I asked you. Why'd you get a B? Then I used my older brother as my defense. I go, but David got 3 C's and a D, right? I thought I was in. And my dad says to me, we expect a lot more out of you, young lady. Now, how I heard that, the story I created for myself when I heard that was I had to be perfect to earn love. It impacted every single area of my life, overgive, overdelive in relationships. I didn't have any boundaries because, oh man, I was trying to earn that love. I almost destroyed my health twice in corporate America trying to earn that love until the day I was able to reframe it. But what if my dad had asked me an empowering question? Now, an empowering question is specific. It's time-bound. Your job is not to sit around and figure out the answer, because where is the answer? The answer is outside of your jar. But you cannot be attached to the outcome. So here's a powerful question my dad could have asked me. He could have said, Carol, what one thing, because they're specific, could you do differently next semester, time bound, to improve upon that grade? Could have been life-changing. You and I might not even be sitting here talking. If he had empowered me to come up with the answer, I'm way more likely to do it.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think we don't use empowering questions in our society?
We haven't been trained on them, right? We live what we learn and we learn what we live. And I had an opportunity, and I was sad when it was taken away from me, to do a TEDx talk at Lynn University, because I really wanted to get this in front of this age group before they started having kids, right? And before they really jumped fully into, if they're in the professional world or whatever they're doing in corporate America, because it's super, super powerful. So I'll give you another example of what an empowering question can do. Now, I want you to go back. You probably can't do this. 35 years to the early 90s. Were you even alive?
We'll see. No, not quite. Not quite. I'm older than this demographic, but not quite there.
Okay. So there I was in sales, national sales for AT&T. And back then, AT&T had like more than 50,000 employees. They were a huge company. And this is back in the day when you didn't talk about certain things in corporate America. They were taboo. So there I was, and I had on my navy suit and my pearls and my heels. And back in the day, we had to wear pantyhose, if you can imagine. You probably can't even imagine.
I can't imagine that. I did pageants, so I can imagine that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Miss USA. Miss America. And I'm walking down the aisle of all the cubicles of salespeople, and this lady stops in front of me. And she looks at me and she says, "So, Carol, when did you decide to become gay?" All of the, have you ever played that game Whack-A-Mole where you
know? Yes, I have.
So you could have played Whack-A-Mole with all the heads popping up over the cubicles like, "God, did she just say that?" Now, I looked at her and I calmly said, "Well, I'm curious. May I ask you a question?" She didn't even respond. And I said, "What one thing," listen to what I said to her, "What one thing is going on inside of you that's making you so uncomfortable that you feel the need to label me and put me in a box so that you can say you're different than me?" The woman never came up with an answer, and she didn't speak to me for the next 9 years.
That's amazing.
9 years, never spoke to me again. Because here's the thing, folks. Other people's judgments and opinions of you are none of your business. They're not about you. See, it wasn't about me. It was about her. And I often use a quick little analogy. Picture yourself. You're standing in a hallway and you've got a cup and the cup is full of coffee. And people come down the hallway and you get kind of jostled and coffee spills out of the cup. Why did coffee spill out of the cup? And most people say, "Well, somebody bumped my arm." No. Coffee spilled out of the cup because coffee was in the cup. If tea had been in the cup, tea would have spilled. If milk had been in the cup, milk would spill. So whatever spills out of somebody was already in them.
That's beautiful.
It's already in them. It's not about you. Here's another one. This'll bring true. My ex, and this is about 9-10 years ago, and I had lost my job in corporate America. That's a cool story. But anyway, we don't have time for that. And God closed every other door. I did not want to be an entrepreneur. Trust me, I fought it for a long time. I spent my entire 401k looking for a job. It was incredible. So she comes home one day and she goes, listen to what she said. I've never forgotten these words. "I just don't even understand this coaching business you're trying to grow. You are so stupid." Now, my first thought was, I wanted to say, "Did you hear what you just said?" But see, that would have escalated an argument with a narcissist. So I didn't say that. Because listen to what she said. She said, "I don't understand." So she's feeling stupid. She's got a law degree. She's got a nursing degree. And she cannot figure out how I could be so calm in the midst of a storm, have no income coming in, starting a new business. So she feels what? She feels stupid.
Yeah. And threatened, I'm sure.
Yes. And so instead of looking at her, which she didn't want to do, she spewed that onto me. But I heard her. It wasn't about me. So I just calmly said, "Do you really think it's okay for this person you're supposed to love to call them stupid?"
That is a powerful, powerful question. I love these examples because they show so much ability to implement them. Why do you think it's important for this age demographic in particular to get a handle on this skill?
Because they can make a difference. They can have a different life. They can change lives. They can stop the cycle and create something new. And oftentimes at this age group, based on our upbringing, whether it's, on TV, in the movies, it's on whatever you're watching on TikTok or YouTube, we have this idea of the way things have to be. And if we decide the outcome of the way things have to be ahead of time, we have just narrowed the possibility of a solution. Now, what empowering questions do is they open the door to limitless possibilities. They create what I call Oprah aha moments. Have you ever had a time where you're like, "Oh my God, I never thought about that before"? That's an Oprah aha moment, and that's a new awareness coming into your jar. New awareness. But the challenge is when I remember I was speaking to a big group of HR people at American Express. And I said, but you can't be attached to the outcome. And this lady got all upset and she goes, I got to be attached to the outcome. That's how I'm going to get my pay raise. That's how I'm going to get my report review. Okay, let's reframe this. Right. So think about this. Back in 2019, I knew that I was going to be speaking to three different groups in the month of October at the Tower Club of Fort Lauderdale. Now, I was a member back then, and it was a big, fancy schmancy business club. And they only had two things. They had a big old fat handheld mic, and you can tell by my energy, I don't want to walk around with a handheld mic. Or they had a stand behind the podium. You couldn't move. So I went there. Folks, I want you to write this down. This is the most powerful of all empowering questions. What else is possible today? So I go to the Tower Club. I'm talking to the young lady about how I'm going to be there, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, what else is possible today? And she says to me, Carol, that's the way we've always done it. And I said, I understand, but what else is possible today? Now she looks at me and she goes, Carol, that's how we've done it for 65 years. I go, yeah, I know, but what else is possible today? Now, I must have done this to this woman five or six times. I said nothing else. Finally, she rolls her eyes at me and she goes, I don't know. I'll go ask. I said, thank you. And I left. 1 week later, I'm testing out the very first collar mic, lavalier mic in the history of the Tower Club. Now, my point is this. If I had gone in there and told her, I got to have a headset mic. If I had been attached to the outcome, I might not have gotten any solution at all because I had limited all the possibilities. They could have said, we're going to drop a drone out of the ceiling and follow you around. Okay. I didn't care what the solution was as long as I didn't have to hold that big fat mic. It's old, right? Or stand behind a podium and not be able to be out with my audience. That question will open the door to limitless possibilities. Here's another empowering question, just so you know. They start with who, what, how, and sometimes where. Never, ever, ever, why, ever. Who, what, how, and sometimes where, right? So here's an empowering question that your demographic could ask themselves on a daily basis. As a matter of fact, I was challenged by one of my mentors to ask this every hour on the hour for 30 days. I said, that's not happening. I said, sometimes I coach 11 clients in a day. I don't have a minute on the hour. Like, that's not happening. I said, but I'll do it 4 to 6 times a day. She said, okay, 30 days. I said, okay. I ended up having to start over 3 times. I'm like, three times. How can I write this down? How can I be even more aware? How can I be even more aware of the infinite possibilities surrounding me right now? Now, that has two powerful presuppositions in it, right? Because empowering questions have embedded presuppositions. What does that mean, Carol? It presupposes that you're already aware, and we want to be even more aware. It also presupposes that there's limitless possibilities and opportunities. So it allows you to open the door to create that.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Now, Carol, there's a question I ask all of my guests, so I'm going to have to ask it of you, and we'll see if it's an empowering question. I don't know. We'll see. I ask all of my guests, if you were going to give 3 pieces of advice, they can be related to your topic of expertise, but they don't have to be, to university age people, what would those 3 pieces of advice be?
My number one piece of advice was to trust in the process. Your job is only to take the next step. I believe that God only gave me a lamplight for my feet because my job is to take the next step and to trust in the process. Because trust me, if you heard my whole story of the last 6-7 years, if God had shown me that, there's no way I would have done it. I would have quit. I'm telling you right now. And I'm very persistent. I would have quit. I'm like, oh no, I'm not going through all that crap. So that would be number one. We get to trust in the process and take the next step. A second thing is sometimes you get to trust in someone else's vision for you until you can believe it for yourself. It's how I got a tennis scholarship when I didn't start playing tennis till I was 15. And never had a private lesson, but I trusted someone else. It's how I got the job that took me from my tennis career from Dallas, Texas to Miami, Florida to a 26-year sales career when I knew nothing about sales. And it's how I became a professional speaker. If I had time, that's just a great teaching story. So sometimes you get to trust in someone else's vision until you can hold on to that belief for yourself.
I love that.
And the other thing I would say is give, give, ask. That gets to be your pattern. Give value first, and then make an ask. Those are the three things I would say that could radically change your life. Because when we show up to be in service to others first, it's not about not taking care of yourself. It's not about not having boundaries. But when we get to show up in service, we can change the world. That's what I believe.
Is there a quote, a mantra, a song, something you live your life by?
I had a mentor back in 2007, and I had a life coach when nobody even knew what life coaches were, right? I was cutting edge. And this mentor, his name is Keith Cunningham. He wrote an amazing book called Keys to the Vault. And here's a powerful thing we get to remember as we set out on our careers. Or maybe you're listening to this and you're in the middle of a career change or a life change. He said, remember that everybody starts at the back of the line. You get to get in line and stay in line. The question is, how long can you hold the vision? And I remember I was out of corporate America trying to decide, this is back in 2007, trying to decide what I was going to do. And I ended up going back to corporate America to a job that the base salary was less than 30% of what I was used to making. But it was a great environment. I loved the manager. And I remember getting in my car, driving home from the interview, and I said, God, I don't want to start at the back of the line right now. But I got in line and I stayed in line. And I held the vision to become, you know, one of their top salespeople in the country. So we just get to remember that everything is a learning experience. It's all feedback. And I will tell you one of the biggest things you're going to learn when you take this, and we learn this bank, is that you learn that it's not personal, it's personality.
If somebody wants to try to start implementing empowering questions in their life, based on the things that you've shared, what is the first couple steps?
Take the word why out of your vocabulary. That would be number one. And listen, I have clients that I work with this all the time, and they get a sticky note and they write down all the times they ask why. Because it's a habit. I had a client say, but Carol, my children ask me why all the time. I said, of course they do. They don't know how to articulate the question to get the answer they really want, right? So remove why from your vocabulary. Think about this. What if you talked about relationships earlier, right? I had a client, she said, oh, my husband and I argue all the time. He refuses to put the toilet lid down. And I said, well, what do you say to him? She goes, I say to him, why do you always leave? Of course. What does he do? He gets defensive and you end up in an argument. She says, well, what can I do? I said, I want you to come from a place of curiosity and just say, honey, what one thing could I do? What one thing could I do to help you today? Now you're coming from service and curiosity. What one thing could I do to help you today to remember to put the toilet seat down? He might say something as simple as, could you just put a sticky note over the toilet for me? It's a habit. Now, what if she had asked that 2 years ago and they hadn't had all those arguments, right?
No, that would have been nice.
Exactly. So that would be the first thing. The second thing with empowering questions is remember that you want to come from a place of curiosity. What if you could come from a place that you could actually see somebody else's map of the world? And that's what this does. It allows you to see how other people are viewing the world. You're not going to change who you are. You're going to change how you interact with that person so that you can speak into their value set. They're specific. It's what one thing. See, we get to train the brain on where to go. So if we just say what, it's like going to Cheesecake Factory, right? Looking at that big old menu. You can't, a confused mind always says no, you can't make a decision. So it's what one thing, you want them to be specific and time bound. What one thing could I say today in this conversation or in this sales call, right? And then put in the result that you're looking for. And make them town bound. It's today, it's in this conversation, it's this week, it's in this sales call, it's in this job interview. What one thing could I say in this job interview so that that person knows I'm the absolute best person for the job and they offer it to me right away? And you get to say these things days in advance of actually having the event to open that door. Sometimes you're going to get an answer right away. Other times I had someone challenge me the other day. They go, Carol, you've been asking a couple of those questions for a long time. I said, I know. And they said, but you keep asking. And I said, well, God must figure I got something else to learn first. I'm not ready for that answer. So I just keep asking.
No, and that's true. We will all learn in our own time, but learning how to ask the right questions helps you feel that you have more control of your own narrative. And I think that's so huge for so many young people.
Absolutely.
I love that. Now, Carol, if somebody's really inspired by the things you said, they want to be in your space more, where do they go to find you?
Well, first off, you'll go, if you try to Google and find my website, I took it down because I'm going to now be incorporating this into my website. So there's going to be a relaunch, and you can find me on all social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Use the at sign, at T-H-E, the at the Carol Boston. And I'm going to be changing LinkedIn to love to engage on LinkedIn. Listen, if you're young and you're looking for a career and you're looking for opportunity, it's not on Facebook or TikTok or Instagram. It's on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is, I'm learning, is just such a super powerful tool. And I'm excited to, there's just a different, not type of person, but they're there for a different reason.
Different intention.
Yes, different intention. They're there for. So join me. You can email me, carol@carolboston.com, and I'll send you 5 empowering questions that you get to ask yourself on a regular basis. Normally that would go through my website, but it's down. So email me directly, carol@carolboston.com. It's easy. And I'm happy to send those to you.
Carol, as we end here, is there a question I ask you or anything you want to say that you've not shared yet?
One thing is, I wish I had known all of this when I was 40 years younger. If I had had this opportunity, but what I also believe is that I learned it exactly when I was ready for it. So instead of asking yourself, why am I not further along? Why am I, you get to trust I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Everything is unfolding exactly as it's supposed to. I get to get into action and be open to the opportunity. That's what I would say.
I love that. Carol, thank you so much for sharing your enthusiasm and your time and your wisdom and all of your stories today. I've so loved having you.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. I'm looking forward to connecting, guys. Reach out to me.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.